And isn't he worthy of worship and praise? I mean, you know, I don't know about anyone else, but there is nothing like worshiping God. There is nothing like singing the praises of our Savior. There is nothing like the Holy Spirit being present here with us and guiding everything that is said and done. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And this week we've been building up to this the past few weeks, and this week we get to see our Lord and Savior be baptized. Let's take a look at this together. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to
God. Well, last week we spent our time together focusing on the baptism that lasts. And then that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of fire. And if you remember, we talked about what baptism is. It's an outward sign of an inward grace. And that if you remove the inward grace, then the baptism loses its power. And so we could wash someone with water over and over and over again. But if the Holy Spirit, if they weren't being baptized in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit was not coming upon them, it would not have the impact, the power, and the grace that it's meant to have and needs to have. Now, that's not to say that the sacrament of baptism is unimportant, because after all, if it was unimportant, we wouldn't have this passage. If it was unimportant, we wouldn't have Jesus Christ going to John the Baptist to be baptized of him. And we're going to get into this in a little bit. Why on earth would Jesus do this? Why would the one who had no sin go to the baptism of repentance when he had nothing to repent of? We're going to look at that further a little later. But he gives us the answer, and it's in his reply. He says, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, it's about obedience. It's about his willingness to submit to everything that the Father had laid out so that he could share what needed to be shared, live how we're all meant to live, and so that then he could die on the cross, perfect, a blemished lamb without any sin. It was all about obedience. See, it reminds me of the first time that I bought this new tent and I had to set it up. And I was on a camping trip and I was in college at the time. I'd set up a bunch of tents before this and it had instructions, but I wanted to be cool and act like I knew what I was doing. So I didn't look at the instructions and I got it up and I got it standing just not quite right. And if you've ever seen a tent that's not quite right, you could take one look at mine and you could know that it's not quite right, that it was almost there, but not quite perfect. And one of the things I forgot to do, and it was a rainy weekend, much like this past weekend, one of the things I forgot to do was to put the little stick, now I'm looking really ignorant. The poles, I forgot to drape them across the front, so I had a canopy that was over the opening. I forgot to put those in. So naturally it made getting in and out of the tent very difficult. And when it rained, the water would gather. There would be a huge puddle right in front of the entrance. And it was just miserable. The whole weekend long it rained like this. And then I forgot to put all of the stakes down. So then when the wind blew, what happened to the water? It got under the tent. Right? And somehow it made its way into my tent. So then what happened to my stuff? It got wet. So I had to walk around the whole weekend wearing the same outfit with my rain jacket because everything else I had was wet. All because I wanted to look cool. All because I wanted to act like I knew what I was doing. And so instead of being obedient to the instructions, I tried to do it my own way. I tried to do my own thing. And it left me wet, tired, and ready for the weekend to be over. Well, I think that's what happens to a lot of us in our relationship with God. We try and act like we know what we're called to do. We try and act like we've got all the answers, and we only follow Him halfway. And then when we only follow Him halfway, what happens is that the promises that God promised to protect us and watch over us and shelter us, because we've only followed Him halfway, half of us is standing outside and getting pelted by the storms of life. And we wonder why it's raining. We wonder why it's hurting. We wonder why it's so uncomfortable and so miserable. And it's because we're standing halfway outside of God's commands, and we're only being half faithful. And as one minister said, partial obedience is disobedience. And so if we want to find and embrace the type of relationship with God that we can have, then obedience is a crucial part of it. And what we're going to look at this morning is the pleasure that comes from obedience, because that is one of the things that we get revealed in this passage. Jesus shows us that there's a pleasure to be had about being obedient to God, that there is a pleasure you get from walking in obedience that you cannot get anywhere else. And just as the Son was obedient to the Father every moment of His life, so we are called to be obedient to our Father in heaven. And so let's take a look at this together. And I want to highlight a few things for you out of this passage. And it's all centering around the pleasure that comes from obedience that we see Jesus Christ enjoying. The first one is this: the pleasure of obedience comes from the peace of being under the authority of God. The peace of being under the authority of God. There is a peace that is present in the heart of a person who is not resisting, who is not rebelling, and who is not at war with God. There is a peace in their heart. There is a peace in their life. Such a person, we still have ups and downs in life. We still have challenges. We still get sick. We still have all the same stuff going on that the world throws at us. But there's an inner peace that transcends all understanding, because we're resting under the authority of God. And there is a big difference. Jesus comes to John the Baptist, and I can't blame John the Baptist for how he felt. I mean, if Jesus came to me and said, "Kenny Butcher, I want you to baptize me," I'd say, "No, I need you to baptize me." Isn't that how we'd all feel? Right? It's the same reaction the disciples had when Jesus wanted to wash their feet. Right? They're like, no, I'll wash your feet. I'm here to serve you, not you. I know you served me and you went to the cross, but and you did for me what I couldn't do, but I stuff like that we feel way less comfortable with. And so we can sympathize a lot with John the Baptist, right? And what did Jesus say? "I'm here because it's proper for me to be here. I'm here because this is to fulfill all righteousness." It's about the humility of Christ. He had already humbled Himself by leaving heaven and coming to earth. Now He was humbling Himself even further and being baptized. Why does He do it? I'll give you a hint. It's not to wash away sin, because Jesus had no sin, right? Sin, original sin that's passed down from generation to generation, Jesus didn't have any of that. Jesus didn't have any sin that He had committed, never done anything wrong, had nothing that He needed to repent from. He did it because God commanded it. He did it because it was proper to fulfill all parts of righteousness. You see, obedience, being obedient, is something that Jesus was all about. In fact, He says it over and over again. "It's my will to do the will of the Father. That's what I'm here to do. If God says to do it, I will do it." In fact, do you remember the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus says, "Not my will, but yours be done." That was his life. It was all about the Father's will. You see, God always has a reason for calling a person to obedience. God's commands are always helpful, and they can be given to us for a number of different reasons. One of the reasons is it can be for the benefit of others. And that's one of the things we see going on here, right? Jesus is setting for us an example. We see this concluded when Jesus says, "Go forth unto all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do everything that I have commanded you." A part of the reason why Jesus was baptized was for the benefit of others, for the benefit of us. Another reason why there's calls to obedience is because it can be a test of your faithfulness. We don't like the idea of this, do we? We don't like the idea that God might test us, but didn't he test Abraham? Didn't he say, "I want you to take Isaac up on that mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him"? It was a test. There are countless testimonies throughout Scripture of God testing his people. Why would he test us? It's not to try and make us fail. It's to try and see if we can be trusted with greater responsibilities. It's to try and see if we're ready to grow even closer to him. God's tests are always to draw you nearer to him, never to push you away. So sometimes a call to obedience can be about a test of your faithfulness. Sometimes it can be a way of strengthening your witness. I think of the Apostle Paul. What did he say? "To the Jews, I'm like a Jew. To the Gentile, I'm like a Gentile." When he was with the Jewish people, he didn't eat of certain foods. He didn't do certain things because he wanted to have an ability to connect and to witness with them. Sometimes that's what obedience is all about. Sometimes when you get around certain people in your life, maybe a coworker, maybe a family member, you might have to extend a little more grace and submit yourself to some things that maybe you haven't submitted yourself to in a long time. I've got a friend of mine who used to struggle with alcohol. Well, there are certain places that when we go out to eat together, we don't go. Right? Because I don't want to be the reason he stumbles. I don't want to be the reason he falls. And I want to have the kind of witness that will make a difference in his life. So sometimes it can be for your witness. Another reason is it can be an effort to move you into a better position. Sometimes an act of obedience that God is calling you today is not necessarily for something that's going to happen this week. It's for something that's going to happen a month from now. Sometimes God wants you to be obedient where you are so he can get you to where he wants you to go. I experienced this in Memphis. I didn't want to be there. When I was in seminary, I wanted to be at a church, and I wanted to be serving at a church, and I was ready, and I looked around at all my classmates, and I said, "If they can do it, I can do it. I'm ready." And the Lord said, "Not yet." And I said, "Well, I think now's the time." And I went and interviewed at churches, and it all failed. Because the Lord had me in the position he wanted me, and it was all about to get me into the position that he wanted me to be. And he was waiting for my obedience in the moment so that then he could move me to where he wanted me to be. And I wouldn't be here today if I had been disobedient. If I had walked my own way, I don't know where I'd be. But I guarantee you, it would not be as good as this place is. There's always a reason. If God is calling you to do something in your life today, there is a reason for it. If God is impressing upon your heart to share with somebody you love the gospel, he's waiting for you to do it. He's wanting you to do it. If God is waiting for you to do something different in a relationship and restore one that has been broken and fractured, God's asking you to do it. He's asking you to be obedient. He's asking you to trust him, to honor him, and to walk with him. Obedience is not just about you. It can also be a blessing to everybody around you. So the first pleasure that comes from obedience is the peace of being under God's authority. The second pleasure that comes from obedience is the presence that grows with every act of faithfulness. The presence that grows with every act of faithfulness. And let me get something out of the way real quick. God's presence, it doesn't diminish or grow. As in, he disappears when we're disobedient, he appears when we're obedient. He is always there. Our recognition of it grows and disappears. So it's not God ever going anywhere. It's not when Kenny Butcher stumbles, God said, oh, I can't look at him. That's not how it works. What happens is I can't see God. What happens is I put up this wall, I put up this sin, and now all of a sudden I can't see God because I've got this problem with somebody that in my life and we're going back and forth and we're not connecting, we're not getting along, I'm being unforgiving, and all of a sudden I feel guilty when I'm praying and spending time with God, and so therefore I create a distance between me and him. So the presence I'm talking about is our recognition of that presence. Because he is always there. Notice what happens when Jesus, he's obedient, the Holy Spirit descends down in the form of a dove. The Holy Spirit coming down. Now, none of us can fathom, and I can't fathom, what would have happened if Jesus would have said, nope, I ain't doing it. Right? Because that's not our Lord and Savior. He was always righteous, always obedient, always walking. But a lot of us can picture that about ourselves, right? We know what it's like to be disobedient. We know what it's like to know exactly what God would want us to do and to do the opposite. We know what it's like to not even listen to what he's revealing. And when that happens to us, we struggle to connect with God. We struggle to hear from God. It makes me think of a friend of mine who used to work for the Titans. And he had one of those all-access passes. And he would take me around to everything. I got to see the locker rooms and sit in there. I got to see the press box and sit in there. I got to go into the coach's room. I thought it was the coolest thing. And as long as I was with him, I got to go everywhere. But if he wasn't with me and I tried to go everywhere, what would have happened? Right? I would have gotten in trouble. Well, the Holy Spirit is ready to go into every part of your life and every part of your heart. But the question that we all have to wrestle with is how much will we let him? How much room will we give him to operate? Because the Holy Spirit is also not going to violate your free will. And he's not going to tear you apart. He's waiting for you to say, all right, I trust you. I'm ready for you. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus as he submitted here. The Holy Spirit's with you. Anyone who has been born again has the Holy Spirit dwelling in their hearts and have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. The problem when we walk in disobedience is that we're saying to the Holy Spirit, I don't need you. We're saying to the Holy Spirit, I don't want you. We're saying to the Holy Spirit, I got this. And so the Holy Spirit says, okay, I'll be right here. And he waits until you're ready to humble yourself before the Lord. So I think it's incumbent upon us that we figure out what God's will is. You know, people treat God's will as some hidden mystery that only a select few are able to find. But I want you to know that God is ready to reveal it to you, to me, to each and every one of us. And so how do we find it? The first thing we have to do is we have to take time to learn what God desires. Spend time in his word. Know his word. See what God commands. See what God promises. Also spend time reading Christian greats. I read people like Martin Luther. People like Dwight Moody. A.W. Tozer. The list goes, Charles Spurgeon, the list goes on and on. I read because I want to know more. I want to hear from people who have a close, intimate, personal relationship with God about how they grow in the faith and how they came to know the Lord in a deeper and deeper way. Take time to learn what God desires. Also, ask God how it applies to you. Remember, I've said this before. If you took God's word and you wrote down every command God commanded and you tried to apply them all at once, what would happen? You would go crazy. You couldn't do it. We are imperfect people who have a sin nature who is constantly in opposition to God. And so we see how God's commands apply to our life and which commands that God is calling us. It's not that we ignore the others. It's which ones does God want us to work on right now? What does God want us to do in this moment? You know what I've discovered about God? If God commands me to do something and I don't do it, he doesn't move on to the next command. He keeps revealing that same one to me over and over and over again. Until I submit, until I come. Anybody else ever experienced that? Anybody else had to learn a lesson over and over and over again before you took it to heart? Right? See how it applies to you. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. This is where we need the Lord's help. Reading the Bible for the sake of reading the Bible will never bear fruit. Reading the Bible with the expectation of encountering God and the Holy Spirit bringing the Word to life, that is how we read God's Word. That is how we understand God's Word, so we see how it applies to us. Thirdly, do what you know God has commanded. Do what you know. If you're here today and you know you are walking in disobedience to God, and God's made it very clear in His Word, made it very clear in your life, repent. Do what you know God's commanded you to do. Because God's not going to bless you and call you to new things and use you in new ways until you come to Him, until you humble yourself before Him. I've had to learn this lesson. And fourthly, be patient when you're uncertain. Sometimes it's hard to know what the right thing to do is. Anybody ever been there? Patience. Patience. I can't tell you how many things the Lord has saved me from because I was patient. Because when I didn't know, I said, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to move into this apartment with friends of mine who were bad influences because I don't have peace about it. I'm going to stop. And God protected me from that. I'm not going to do this with my finances because I don't have peace about it. So I'm going to stop. And I'm going to be patient until I know what God wants me to do. See, a lot of us long for more God's presence in our lives. And He's saying, I'm here, I've been here the whole time. Just do what I've asked you to do. That's what I'm waiting for. And then that leads us to the third pleasure. The pleasure of obedience that comes is the pleasure that comes from every praise, that the praise that every child longs to hear from their father. What did God the Father say? A voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. If you have any doubts about the Trinity this morning, I hope this passage speaks to your heart. Here you have God the Father praising God the Son as he is baptized. And you have the Holy Spirit descending upon him. You have all three parts of the Godhead acting in unison. And this is something I want you to understand about how God works in the Trinity and in the Godhead. It's always in unison with each other. The Father is always in unity with the Son. The Son is always in unity with the Spirit, working together to accomplish God's will. Distinct but the same. praise. I look at Christopher every time I offer words of affirmation. I look at Julianne. And there, the smiles that enter their faces, every parent's seen it, when you praise your children. Don't we want to hear that from God? I don't know about anybody else, but I want to hear my Heavenly Father say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And amazingly, when I'm down and discouraged the most, God sends people my way just to do that. Anybody else ever had that blessing? You're down, you're discouraged, you feel worthless, you don't know what God's up to, you feel defeated, and God sends one person after another to let you know how much He loves you and to let you know how proud He is of what you're doing. It is an amazing, amazing thing. But God is not just pleased with His Son. He's not just saying to Jesus, "Well done, good and faithful servant," but He feels that way about all of His people. Those in Christ should know that God loves you, He takes delight in you, He is pacified or at peace with you, and He graciously accepts you. We would be so much more free as people if we just knew that God loved us. If we just knew that even when we mess up, God loves you. That when we get it wrong, God loves you. And that when we try and we fail, God loves us. It is a joyful thing. And when we're walking in faith, when we're walking in obedience, we get to enjoy the pleasure of His company. We get to enjoy the pleasure of His praise. And we get to enjoy the peace of being under His authority. How many of us here need that peace this morning? How many of us need to make our way back under the authority of God because for whatever reason in some area of our lives we've been walking over here and God said, "I want you over here"? Let this be the day that you take that first step back under the authority of God and you say, "You know what? I'm going to walk with you. You know what? I don't care what the world has to say about a religion. I don't care what the world has to say about political correctness. I don't care what the world has to say about any of that. What I care about is what my Father in heaven has to say about it, and I'm going to walk in obedience to Him. I'm not going to apologize for sharing the gospel. I'm not going to apologize for walking in the gospel, and I'm not going to apologize for being obedient to my Master." Let this be the day that you take that first step. If God is working in your heart in any way this morning, if He is revealing to you any area of your life where you are out of step with Him, let this be the morning that we come down to this altar and we say, "Lord, forgive us. Forgive me for being jealous of what other people have. Forgive me for overlooking those people in need that you've told me to take care of. Forgive me for being unwilling to forgive. Forgive me for not standing on your truth because I'm afraid of what my neighbors might think." Let this be the morning that we say, "You know what? I want to be under God's authority and I want to walk in obedience to Him." I pray that you would come as the Holy Spirit leads you to come. In a few moments, Michael's going to get up and lead us in our closing hymn. But before we do that, let us pray together. Lord, we need your instruction. We need your teaching. And we need your Holy Spirit to reveal what all it means. Lord, even something as simple as the sacrament of baptism, that outward sign of an inward grace, sometimes we can even get that wrong. Lord, we want to be filled with your Spirit. And we want to walk in step and come under the influence of Him. But Lord, while as long as we're trying to keep control for ourselves, as long as we're trying to lock Him out, we know that can't happen. Lord, help us to be humble this morning. And help us to step in alignment with you, to confess where we've gotten it wrong, and to ask for your mercy and forgiveness and start walking with you. This is our hope and prayer this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Michael, if you'll come forward. Let's worship together. Let's praise together. And if the Holy Spirit is moving upon your heart, listen. We've been talking about obedience. If the Holy Spirit is calling you to come down and pray, if the Holy Spirit is moving in you and you just say, maybe next time, I'm not going to do it today, that defeats all of what we've been talking about. Listen and be obedient to whatever God might be revealing.